Everything is Real. I'm Natalie D.
I'm Drew Toothpaste.
And today we're going to discuss how February 2024 was very weird.
That's right. It's the second in our ongoing series of weird months. And February was very weird, Natalie.
Yeah, it was weird. You know, if you seek to see the weird, you will find it every time. So I feel like February possibly is always weird, but we just noticed it recently because we started looking for it.
The vibes are never right on a leap year either.
No.
You get 29 days in February. The whole rest of the year is thrown off.
Right.
The vibes are weird.
The vibes
veil,
are shit.
The veil. The veil is thinner.
Right.
And the vibes are shit. Which makes the shit easier to go through.
Right. Yeah. How are you? Are you grounded? Are you centered?
I'm great.
You're great.
I'm great, yeah. I'm open to learning about what happened this February 2024, and we're going to dive even deeper into the world of aliens, quantum physics, and all the other stuff we like, such as aliens, right?
Aliens. Mainly aliens. Like, aliens are like the main source of news with the weird developments anymore. Like, I like all of it. I like the ghosts. I like the cryptids. I like the esoteric stuff. And I like the aliens. And I like all that shit. But like, aliens are the only ones that really have any news coming out on a regular basis.
And it's because we're in the process of UFO and alien disclosure.
Right.
When you're in the middle of a process like this, it is both fast when you look back on it and excruciatingly slow if you're in the middle of it thinking, well, something new's going to happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen quite like that.
Right. Something new happens like almost every day, though. Almost every day.
Which is wild when you consider, like, in the 60s and 70s, flying saucer news would amount to you going to the library and requesting a 1950s book about flying saucers.
Yeah. Yeah. Guide to Martians.
There was really not a lot going on back then. But so, in the past few years, the disclosure process keeps speeding up, keeps happening. Now we have Congress people who are repeatedly being briefed and having these secret conferences, and they get grilled when they come out of the conferences, and half of them say, we're still getting blocked. We're still not getting information we want. And the other half are like, I am very somber and shocked at the alien news. And then none of them can tell you what they discussed because it's all super under wraps because it is supposedly an issue of national security.
Well, there was the one story that I almost included in this month's roundup where allegedly there were some Congress people like Representative Luna and some other cats who were like shown a video of alien bodies. But when I went to dig in more for more information about that, there were some like alien disclosure people who were like, that is not accurate. That is not what happened. And so, like, if even the alien whack jobs are saying that it's not real, then I just dropped it. So, like, if Jeremy Waldorf Remington Lightning Bug Corbell comes out and says it wasn't true, then it probably wasn't.
So, what we cover is usually items that have news articles from relatively mainstream sources.
Right, yeah.
These pieces are making it out into the mainstream media. You'll see them on The Hill. You'll see it in The Independent, in The Guardian, and I don't know. Imagine the U.S. had a free and independent press.
Right. Imagine that you didn't have to pay $75 a year to every single website you looked at.
I love that they really think that, like, me clicking in to look at one article in particular, they're like, we've almost got him. He's looking at the site. He's going to subscribe. Do you want to continue without disabling your ad blocker? You owe us $1.50. I will never.
Never. Never. You monetized me this whole time. Keep doing what you were doing, idiot.
You got ads on the page.
I've been fucking reading these fucking news stories on the internet since fucking 1998, and no one ever fucking needed me to fucking enter my credit card number. I'm certainly not going to fucking start doing it now. I will be uninformed before I do that. If it's important enough news, I won't have to pay for it.
That's right. If it's real news, it'll come to me.
Right, right. As soon as it shows up in my yard here in the woods, then I'll recognize it as being news. So, the first story that caught my eye that we're going to discuss came from the Daily Mail. And they had a story about some U.S. military whistleblowers. And so these guys were like government guys who came out to say that in the 60s, which is like 1964, they were in the Air Force and they saw film of a flying saucer going around a dummy warhead in some kind of test situation and detaching it from an Atlas missile booster and disabling it with laser beams.
Okay.
And they said that they saw this video when they were in the Air Force, and they were officers in the Air Force. And after they saw this film, two plainclothes CIA agents came in and took the film, and it disappeared, and they never saw it again.
And so the reason why we're bringing this up now, 60 years later, is because some people today, purportedly some Congress people, purportedly some people digging around in this kind of stuff, were shown this video. Previously, this story has popped up. You know, if you watch a show on Discovery Channel called Secrets of the Aliens.
Right. I always do.
This story will pop up, and it's happened again and again. It's happened at least two or three bases we know of. Now, if you were a kid who grew up in the 80s, you know that there are Minuteman nuclear warheads located in places like Kansas. Just these rural parts of America. And there's people working at these bases 24 hours a day. They're trained. They have all this safety protocols and all this stuff going on. And as the story goes, they will see anything from, you know, orbs to flying saucers to one military base saw a red square floating above it that was the size of a football field.
Right. I always see that.
So there have been multiple like phenotypes of these alien craft or non-human craft, UAPs. You know, the terminology keeps shifting because they used to be UAP and this used to imply some sort of alien thing, and they're shifting to say it's an all-domain anomaly.
Right, right.
I really don't even know exactly what they're calling them now, but they show up at these military bases and the people inside will be like, yep, nukes just turned off. They'll go and they'll line up and they'll all turn the key at the same time, right?
Right.
Like in Dr. Strangelove. And nothing will happen. All the lights on the control panel will go off. They can't control the nuclear weapons anymore. And of course, from the military standpoint, they panic because they're like, okay, this is bad because we are no longer in control of our nuclear weapons. And this is what is keeping the enemy at bay.
Right, right.
And then, of course, there's the message we've heard from all kinds of people who have encountered non-human intelligences, whether it's the gray aliens or the aerial spacecraft landing in South Africa, where these entities were telling kids like, hey, you should make less nuclear weapons and you should never use them.
Yeah, right, right. The great horror of these alien civilizations interfering in our nuclear bases and forcing us to be civilized. Oh, no, we can't destroy the planet for 15 minutes. Oh, no.
Now that we no longer can just destroy swaths of the Earth and huge numbers of people at the click of a button, now that we can no longer do this, it is serious.
Right, right. I mean, I'm like, whatever, Trevor. Like, I will get concerned when the aliens start hovering over the nuclear bases and then firing them shits off.
Right.
That's, to me, an emergency.
Right.
Because you know what? If they're fucking doing this to our nukes, they're doing it to everyone else's nukes, too.
Well, they absolutely are. And so this happened in 1964, and we got a film of it.
Right.
It's worth noting that in 1963, before he was killed by somebody Who knows? All I know is that the term conspiracy theory popped up from the CIA to talk about people who didn't believe the fraudulent Warren Commission report, right? That aside, 1962-1963, JFK is sending memos saying, hey, we're seeing shit over our bases. The Russians are seeing shit over their bases. We have to get together with the goddamn Russians and make sure we don't nuke each other because of this shit flying around. And this is on paper. This is not rumored. You can go and find this memo.
Right.
It's JFK talking about Russian unknown objects in their airspace around their nuclear bases, right?
Right.
And so obviously, you know, maybe in the 60s, us and Russia had nuclear weapons. You know, everybody else that has them, you know, India, North Korea, whoever else, that they are very likely having UFO activity around them as
well. Right, right. I'm sure.
One of the things you hear from UFO skeptic dweebs is they'll say, why do the UFOs only show up in America?
I mean, we've debunked these debunkers before. The only reason that UFOs only show up in America is because these motherfuckers can't read anything but English.
Right.
That's the true reason. Because the fact of the matter is that some of the hotspots for UFO activity are nowhere near America. They're in places like Brazil.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, war zones overseas, Iraq, like all these stories. We've talked about all these. I don't even need to list them for you. We talk about these stories all the time. It's like a non-point.
But so these UFOs and these non-human intelligences are interfering with nuclear technology. And it is a story that makes a lot of sense. You know, you hear stories related to aliens that don't make sense. You're like, well, they're threatening us. We don't know what they're going to do with us. Well, if they can fly through time, if they are already on Earth and they can fly multidimensionally and they can move through time at will, like, it would have already been all over for us if they had any kind of ill intent toward us.
Right, right.
And it really seems to reinforce the idea that they're like, hey, you guys are too stupid. You guys are too stupid to have so much power. And it feels to me, just being a human on Earth, it feels like, yeah, people definitely have developed too much technology and power for how smart we are. We're not very smart.
I feel like even the people who are pushing the technology are the fucking stupidest ones of all. Like, people will invent and roll out technology that they haven't even thought about the implications of the things that they're pushing out. Or they will even think about the implications and have like a laundry list of all the horrors they could unleash. And they're like, meh. I already invested like $135 in this. I gotta let it go.
This could destroy humanity, but think about my investment.
Right, right. I need to make at least $265 off this to make it worth it.
So I think people are really sort of like human teenagers, where human teenagers sort of develop this amount of independence and this, you know, maybe higher level thinking compared to children, right? And yet they don't have any empathy.
Right, right.
Your empathy comes in later than your ability to, like, scream at people and be a pill.
Right. I mean, when I think about this kind of stuff, I just think about how there should be some kind of licensing protocol where in order to get into the C-suite of a corporation or in order to roll out a national invention, you should have to pass some kind of psychological test to make sure that you have the presence of mind of an adult.
You should
you should understand, like, human interactions and, like, have compassion for the people you're trying to lord over. Like,
they should just sit you down, have a real casual chat, and say, there's a turtle on its back. Why aren't you helping the turtle?
And they're like, well, if I stand on it, it rocks back and forth, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, buddy, I don't think you can lead humanity right now. I don't think you can lead the tech sector at the present moment with your empathy skills.
What do I know? I'm just a hippie in the woods. I'm not in charge of anything.
What do I know? I'm just a bear riding a bicycle.
Right. There is another story. I feel like this is the real headline of this episode, in my opinion. This is the one that gets me gassed up the most. The Telegraph had a story recently. I feel like I read this even in other places aside from there. But, you know, back in World War II, there's all the stories of what they called Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah.
And so all of these World War II guys who were, like, flying aces over the Pacific Theater, flying across the Atlantic Ocean, whatever the hell they were doing, right? And they saw all these UFOs, and they called them Foo Fighters, right? And so there are experts from the University of California, Arizona, and Harvard who all have come to the conclusion that the kind of UFOs that they saw and call Foo Fighters, they were, like, lights, like flying lights, right?
Uh-huh.
They came to the conclusion that they believe that those UFOs were plasma. And they suggested that they might be living things or like natural phenomena that happens in the atmosphere.
I think this is tremendously interesting because probably the most common thing it seems that people will see that is unidentified and which seems to have what's called observables. In other words, like a change in direction, you know, no apparent momentum, no apparent propulsion or anything mm-hmm. like that, are these glowing balls.
Right, right.
And I have talked with multiple people who have seen glowing balls. You know, you're out, you can tell the difference between a star and a plane and a satellite and some fucking thing that is zigzagging everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Shoots up and disappears. You know, meteors only come down, buddy.
Right, right, right. So they said that these plasmas can grow in size and shrink, and they can replicate. They can have, like, a whole swarm of them that then combine into one giant one, right? They have all kinds of very weird behaviors. And they also said that they believe that these plasmas feed on the electromagnetic radiation from satellites and spacecraft, which is why they are swarming around so much.
Okay. Now, when we talk about plasma, we're not talking about, like, the stuff in blood that they extract and dump your cells
yes,
back
yes,
out.
Yes, yes, not that.
This is essentially a phase of matter. You have solid, liquid, and gas, which have, you know, proportionately more energy if you're talking about the solid, liquid, and gas of any particular one substance, like water.
Mm-hmm.
Water vapor has, you know, more energy than ice does. And so plasma would be something that is super hot and has a ton more energy, but it's considered to be another phase of matter.
Right, right. And so they say that there are these plasmas that are in the thermosphere, which is between 66 and 372 miles up. And they will descend into the lower atmosphere, and that is when all these pilots run into them. It's when they start coming down to eat our electromagnetic discharges.
And that, you know, just on the surface, that sounds ridiculous that they are eating our satellite energy. However, if they are, now this is the weird theory. This is the weird theory about this is scientists who have observed these and have videos of them and have, you know, sensor data. We're talking about infrared, you know, other kinds of, you know, temperature, pressure, whatever kind of data they're collecting. They can split from each other. They can merge. They move around in ways that suggest that this is not just random movement. Like molecules in the particle model, molecules in a gas have something called Brownian motion, where they are essentially moving randomly.
Right.
And they bounce off each other. And that is, on a macro level, what gives a gas the quality of having a pressure, is how hard these molecules are banging off each other mm-hmm. as they move around randomly. These plasmas are larger. These are so big that you can see them from, you know, 100, 200 miles away.
Right.
And they're glowing, as you might imagine, from something that may be made of superheated gas, something that's basically that charged superheated gas. So it has some electrical quality to it as well. And they may not just be a characteristic of the atmosphere, like the northern lights are.
Yeah.
The northern lights are something that's visual. It looks weird, but it's not something that is intelligent as far as we know.
Right, right. And so there is a co-author of this study named Dr. Rudolf Schild, who worked at the Center for Astrophysics at Harvard Smithsonian. And he said that these plasmas are electromagnetic entities that have a variety of shapes and sizes. They have repeatedly approached spacecraft and the space shuttles and are attracted to electromagnetic activity, including thunderstorms. And they have been filmed from space, descending into the lower atmosphere, and appear to be attracted to airplanes, fighter jets, nuclear power plants, and hot spots of radiation, such as Hiroshima, which we all know got nuked.
The classic.
Right.
Nuclear hotspot.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very easy to look at this from a materialist standpoint and say, well, this is, you know, this sort of charged electromagnetic field that has this certain temperature and stuff. And of course, it would experience an electromagnetic attraction to something like the space shuttle that mm-hmm. has a bunch of electrical shit on it, right? But seeing how they move around implies that this is not just a stimulus response, okay? This is not just you bring a magnet close to another magnet and it either shoots off or it spins around and clicks to the first magnet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is just very basic physical response. These plasmas are moving around in ways that seem complex.
Right.
And don't seem to correspond to simple things like temperature gradients or simple behaviors that you would see around electromagnetic fields.
Right.
It almost looks like they're buzzing around and checking it out and then flying away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just talked about, on Everything Is Real, we just talked about panpsychism,
mm-hmm.
which is the idea that everything is conscious. And the nutshell of that is that, of course, you're conscious. I'm conscious. The dog is conscious. The cat is conscious. Plants are conscious. We talked about this one separately, right? Is a rock conscious? Well, you can look at that philosophically and say, you know, assuming that there is a model of the universe where consciousness is a primary force, and what we see as the 3D world is sort of a hologram generated by the consensus of everything perceiving it,
mm-hmm.
at least the particles in a rock would have some level and some form of consciousness.
I find it extremely unlikely that everything would be conscious except rocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you consider that everything is made out of the same shit.
If you simply consider that subatomic particles, which are not real, this is a separate thing. I've talked about this before. Subatomic particles are just a model. This allows us to interact with the world in a way that's knowable and repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
But take the humble electron and imagine that the humble electron is conscious. This is not very far-fetched from the materialist's model of the electron, which is that it has an electric potential. It wants to orbit a certain way. It is probabilistically found in certain places around the nuclei of atoms, right? And it's very easy to go from that to saying, well, the electron wants to be around a nucleus. It wants to fly around a nucleus. That's what makes the electron happy. It's having a subjective experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sounds stupid to some people, but think about a bacteria, a bacterium, a single one bacterium. You poke a bacterium and it exhibits some kind of behavior. And biologists will often say that's stimulus response. You poke a monkey and the monkey's like, ouch,
mm-hmm.
stimulus response. But if a monkey, if any living thing is conscious, then it's easy to see that all living things are conscious. The bacteria is having a subjective experience.
Right.
This is all to say that there are models of the world where things that you or I look at them and they don't look like a frog or a tree. So it's easy to think that's not alive. And alive is a different thing than conscious.
Mm-hmm.
But these plasmas, we don't really know what they are, but they act like they're exhibiting complex behavior. And so we can ask the question, say, hey, we've seen these guys, we've seen them do things that look like they're thinking about stuff. And this just seems like another notch in the belt of the idea that everything is conscious.
Right, right. What I most wanted to cover in talking about these plasmas is, to me, what is the most shocking part of it that you have not even touched on? You're so worked up on your smart guy shit, you totally glossed over this. In the late 1990s, Lacerda told us that the orbs in the atmosphere were not spaceships and that they were some kind of natural phenomena that scientists hadn't discovered yet.
This has been one of the weirdest things about researching this for the past few years, is we ran across something called the Lacerda Files.
The first time I read the Lacerda Files, I was in college. It must have been within a couple years of it coming out.
Yeah.
Because it was like on dial-up internet in the dorms.
Yeah.
The first time I read it.
Yeah.
But it is shocking to me that that little text file that I read just like while I was smoking cigarettes and staying up all night after going to the bars, it's shocking to me that something I had read like on a lark like back then and then revisited a couple more times, how much of it was true. Back then, I wouldn't have said it was true.
Back then, you just thought you were reading something goofy that somebody made up and it was very spooky and weird.
Why would Lacerda tell us that the orbs that were in the atmosphere were a natural phenomena that scientists had not uncovered the mysteries of yet? That is exactly what happened this month. Exactly what Lacerda said that was going on.
And so, just to bring us up to speed, the Lacerda Files, the origin of this is somebody was channeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a channeled piece. I believe the people were in Sweden or Norway or something like that, something Scandinavian, right? And they had channeled this entity called Lacerda, who was ostensibly some kind of reptilian alien who lived underground. So that was the other thing from Lacerda, was that they didn't come from space. They had been here the whole time. They lived underground.
And so this is, again, something that, you know, 25 years ago, the late 90s, you're reading this in your dorm room and you're like, aliens live underground and they're hidden from humans. You're like, yeah, right. We would have seen them.
Right.
But it turns out they are.
Right. So to me, that is very noteworthy and so unbelievably specific. It is so unbelievably specific. And it's exactly what Lacerda said was going on. And that's not the first time Lacerda has been right. So I have this theory. I know I've mentioned this before. When it comes to a lot of these channeled works, I feel like back in the old days, before people had like whistleblower protections and there was like a process of disclosure going on, I feel like a lot of these channeled pieces are maybe compilations of information that insiders were leaking. Right?
Okay.
And so these people who had exposure to things having to do with UFOs or like paranormal phenomena, instead of just spilling the beans and getting in trouble with their boss or with the government, they will write it all down and like put a little bit of like fictional framing around it.
Uh-huh.
And then release it and be like, it's channeled. If it's true, I can't help that. That just came to me in a channel. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on. So I feel like maybe whoever had their hands in the Lacerda files maybe knew something and they were trying to tell us without getting in trouble. Do I think Lacerda, the singular persona of Lacerda, is a real thing? I don't fucking know. But there's an awful lot of true shit in those Lacerda files.
And so this is something where it was truly fringe to say aliens are here on Earth and they live here on Earth and aliens are underground. And, you know, starting in 2017, we're getting reports and more are being declassified. You know, I hate to wait on the fucking government to tell us that we're allowed to know about the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But we have now gotten multiple reports of craft that are moving between air and water in a way that is not just seamless, but they seem to be moving through the water in a way that nothing else on Earth can move through the water.
Mm-hmm.
They're going super fast.
Right.
They go from the air into the water, and it's like they encounter no resistance. And this doesn't have to do with being aerodynamic,
mm-hmm.
okay? This has to do with the control of matter in some way that makes it so they're not even encountering this physical barrier.
Right.
So we've now had multiple whistleblowers and information sources come out and say, oh, yeah, the aliens are straight up in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
The aliens are, you know, if not underground in a place where we see them, although, you know, Phil Schneider and some people out west have made allegations that there are at least a couple types of aliens deep underground in the American Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
But we see ships coming in and out of the fucking ocean. And so more and more pieces of the Lacerda files are sort of coming out now in drips here and there, and just stuff that she said casually, like, oh yeah, you know, the plasmas are just beings, and you guys don't know what those are yet. They're just like luminous orbs, and they're natural to this earth, and you just haven't figured out what they are.
Mm-hmm. That's so specific.
That is not just, you know, if you were going to pull something out of your ass, if you wrote a document and you were going to just make shit up about the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would not get like 8 to 10 very specific things correct.
Right, right. What Lacerda said about the UFOs on Earth was that they were a mix of different sources. She said that some of them are government ships, like test craft that, you know, that's what everyone always says all of them are.
Yeah.
Everyone always says all of them are. It's like bullshit, right? Lacerda said some of them are test craft that were manufactured by our government. Some of them are alien craft that are piloted by alien civilizations. And the third type are these naturally occurring orbs that exist in the upper layers of the atmosphere. So I'm here for it. I can't wait to see how this shakes out. Hopefully they get to a conclusion before I'm dead. I hate to have to be reborn on this fucking shit planet just to see how the aliens shake out.
I was really hoping to escape the cycle, but I gotta find out how this son of a bitch ends.
I'm here to escape the cycle. I honestly don't give a shit anymore. We had another news story this month that I thought was weird, and there's like no meat to it at all, but there were squid aliens over Fresno. Now, the video for this was extremely weird because it looked like a fucking squid flying over Fresno. It moves in all kinds of directions and has these like creepy tentacles that are like flopping all over the place. And the video that was reported on and shown on the news was accidentally filmed by a resident when they were walking around in Fresno in the area of Shaw and Marks Avenue. And so they were making this video, and then later they saw it in the background of the video.
Okay.
They're like, what the fuck's that? No one knows what it was. Who knows? Who the fuck knows, right? What I liked is that one of the people, when they were writing this piece, was like, oh yeah, we see that squid all the time in Fresno, and it's always right over Shaw Avenue. So it just kind of hangs out in the same spot.
The Shaw Avenue alien air squid.
Yeah.
Now, you can go and find this video, and something you'll find that's frustrating if you ever go to look this stuff up is you'll say, well, the damn video's blurry.
Right, right.
Right? And so we're running into the limits of our technology because you can get a phone that has whatever megapixel and whatever zoom on it, and you can be near the airport. We used to live near the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And you can point that sucker up in the sky, and you can try to take a picture, and the airplane is 4 pixels across.
Right.
You try to zoom in on it, and the phone can't hold the focus.
Right. Right.
On an airplane.
Right.
The same airplane you've been on, made of metal, flying through the sky on a clear day.
That you definitely know is real.
It is 100% real. There's real people on it. It's on the flight tracker app on right. your phone, and you can't take a picture of it.
Right.
So the squid alien, the squid entity, whatever it is in the air, it looks very much like an octopus to me.
It's like some Death Stranding shit. Like some black, oily-looking squid, right? And it's like all over the place.
If you had to walk 20 miles to carry a pizza to it, you might be tempted to think it was a video game. But unfortunately, it's real.
Right, right. There's also a quote in the article where they said, it's too high in the air and it's changing shape. If it were a kite, it would have to be quite big and it would take an airplane to fly it that high. I don't understand how it can change direction without any visible effort.
And so, again, this is exhibiting some of those characteristics that pilots and civilians have reported, mm-hmm. which is changing direction, changing speed in a way that has no visible propulsion.
Right.
In a way that seems to ignore what we typically think of as momentum.
Right, right. And the last thing I wanted to discuss, because I thought it was like a sea change, right? Michio Kaku was interviewed on Ross Coulthart recently, and he was quoted. They were talking about the study of UAP, and Michio Kaku was talking about how there are a lot of very capital P physicists who are starting to take all of this stuff very seriously now, and they're starting to take the study of UAP seriously because there are multiple modes of data that is coming out about all of these things, so they are able to study it now. And he said, "We go where the data goes, and the data indicates that these objects were not made by us." And so this is like college physicist science guys talking about UAPs now, which is like, this is what Neil deGrasse guys have been waiting for.
So Michio Kaku is a physicist who specialized in quantum mechanics, mm-hmm. as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And something you see often in the scientific world is people who want to come together and form a consensus about scientific truth. This is something where if you have an establishment that says, you know, this certain property is happening scientifically, and then you have a group that puts out a paper that challenges that, you will have people in the establishment who challenge you. Mm-hmm. Even in what should be a completely objective field that works objectively with data, you will, you know, if you bring an article to a scientific journal and it goes against the mainstream view, it may be hard to get that published depending on what field you're in and what you're saying.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Michio Kaku has been pretty outspoken over the past few years about what most would consider fringe, and especially Neil deGrasse Tyson fans would consider to be not, quote, quote, not real science, right? Any kind of aliens or anything. In fact, there was a story that just came out this past week where a guy started off and he was talking about a phenomenon that nobody could explain. And when somebody brought up aliens, he said, well, aliens should be the last thing we consider. Well,
why?
Because that is, in terms of the establishment, whenever you bring up that kind of stuff, it can only be done in the abstract. It can only be done as, you know, something theoretical, because discussing this stuff under the auspices of it being real and measurable and challenging all of our scientific models is very threatening. If you're a physicist or you're a scientist and you've been working 30 years in some field and people come along and say, okay, well, your stuff, your physics that you worked on is really good in these limited areas. However, we have a new version of physics. I mean, right. Einstein hated quantum physics. Einstein was celebrated at the turn of the 20th century for being a brilliant innovator. He came up with relativity. In walks Niels Bohr, and Niels Bohr is like, I think that stuff sometimes happens. I think the universe is probabilistic and not deterministic. And Einstein is like, motherfucker. So you see, even people who were revered by our society, to the point Einstein dies, they crack his case open and they fuck around with his brain and they cut his brain up and people hoard his brain. People are so fucking weird.
They are.
And obsessed with science and scientists, and they ignore what is real about the field, which is learning about the unknown. And you have people who actually understand this, and their point of view is starting to get out. Michio Kaku said, look, we've looked into this, and we cannot find a way to explain that these objects were man-made. Mm-hmm. The UAPs, the Tic Tacs, the flying saucers, the triangles, the football fields, whatever these are, even assuming they are objects and not some sort of higher dimensional projection.
Right, right.
And so I think you're right that we are starting to see a change in the attitudes of people, because once you get over the hump, of being mocked whenever you bring it up, then you have the potential of somebody being the first scientist to recognize that aliens are real.
Right. That was you.
Oh, that was me. I accept the prize.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird was February?
I'm going to give this February a 6. You know, a few years ago, February wasn't super weird at all. And, you know, a few years ago, February was even cold.
Yeah, right.
I'd say a February with 29 days where you could go take a walk outside every day, and it turns out that yet another very specific thing from the Lacerda files, which were channeled by a reptilian alien, turns out to be true. That's going to get a 6 from me.
Right, right. I'm going to give this February a 4. I feel like January really blew it out of the water with the giants at the mall.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of weird shit going on last month, and so I feel like February left me a little underwhelmed, and I feel like a lot of this stuff, from the perspective of someone who reads about this shit all the time, is a lot of ho-hum. Like, I knew that. Thank you. Move along. Squid over Fresno. Who gives a shit, right? So I'm going to give this a 4.
Well, if you're paranormal, occult, or alien events, we'd like you to step it up for March. Go ahead and do that. And if you'd like to also score this month or score any of our other recent discussions that we've had, we have over 400 episodes for patrons only. They're available in our Discord, and they're available at patreon.com/garbagebrainuniversity. That's where you're going to want to go to hear more.
You know who our favorite sponsor of the month is? Plants.
That's right. We've been sponsored by plants, and I can't say I'm unhappy about that at all.
Right. I like plants.
They're
cool to hang out with.
I have tons of plants in the house. I love to take care of them, and I like to think that they take care of me.
I had a psychic reading recently, and they told me that I would probably like to hang out with plants, and to that I said, I do. I already do.
I already.
You might be interested to see that I live in a house where there's no room for anything but plants.
You know, another one of our sponsors, Natalie, is Corey Grella. She's the number one life insurance agent in Alaska. Sounds like a bit, but it's real.
She's actually number one, and I bet you she likes plants too, if I had to guess.
You can't be that good at your job and spurn the love of our green friends, the plants.
Right, right, exactly. And then we also have our longest sponsor, the beautiful and scenic Harlem Township.
Harlem Township, Ohio, located in Delaware County, one of 18 townships, and arguably the most beautiful of them all. Recent news item, Westerville, a suburb of Columbus, is seeking to acquire Harlem Township as part of its own. I feel like this could be stripping it of its identity, but maybe it will give the residents of Harlem Township more resources. And so we'll see where it shakes out. Like everything else in government, politics, or business, we have no say over it.
I hate change, though. I hate it. It's never good. You know what the best way is? The old way.
So thanks to Harlem Township, Corey Grella, and Plants for sponsoring Garbage Brain University and Everything is Real. If you'd like to be our sponsor, head to patreon.com/garbagebrainuniversity and you'll get more info there. Thanks again for listening. And remember, everything is real.
I love you.
Goodbye.